Let us turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him, through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his word. Shall we just look to the Lord in prayer? Our gracious God and Father, we desire to thank thee this morning for that which has been before us. And Father, we do confess that we feel within our souls the need of revival, that we might indeed rejoice in thyself. Remember the apostle could say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say unto you, rejoice. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Then we thank thee for that which we have had brought before us as to our practical relationships in Christ as members of that body in building and bride. So we do pray that as we continue to look into thy word, that thou wilt speak to us. We long to continue to hear thy voice. Thou knowest each one of our needs. And so we ask thee for grace. We ask thee for the enablement of thy Holy Spirit. We ask thee for receptive hearts to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. We ask thy continued blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We've been hearing about our wonderful relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ from the Epistle to the Ephesians, and we know that these two books are complementary, the one to the other. Ephesians bringing before us the wonderful position of the believer in our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Epistle to the Colossians, bringing before us the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that if our hearts are to be warmed, if our hearts are to be stirred, I believe that there's only one way that it's really possible for these things to take place, and that is our hearts have to become occupied with him, our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think that there's any other way that the heart can be revived, that there's any other way that we can really fulfill the relationships which we as Christians are called upon to fulfill unless our hearts are filled with himself, unless our minds are filled with himself. And as our souls are filled with himself, we know that there is a transforming change that will take place in our hearts and in our lives. You know, sometimes we think to ourselves that we living in the last days, we're living in days, you might say, where we might as well throw up our hands. This is it. This is all there is to it. There's not going to be much more. If we can just hold on until the Lord comes, why, that would be wonderful. But you notice in this portion that I have read to you, from the very first days of the church's history, there was a constant conflict. There was a constant care on the part of the apostle and on the part of those who were associated with him for the people of God. The course of the church of God and of believers in the world has never been an easy one. It's been through a world that has been opposed to God, opposed to the Word of God, opposed to the people of God, and we find that the Apostle Paul had a concern for the people of God, even though they had not seen his face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware. You notice in these verses that we have read, especially from the 5th through the 8th verses, we have a beautiful cluster of practical exhortations and of practical truths that I would like to look at for a little while this morning. I think that here we have brought before us a picture of the prosperity or spiritual condition that the Lord desires in each and every one of our souls. You notice the apostle says, I absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joining and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Now, this assembly at Colossus was an assembly that was characterized by these two things. First of all, they were an assembly that were characterized by order. The Apostle Paul joyed in beholding their order. We know that it is something that the Word of God brings before us. We've had a little bit concerning the assembly brought before us and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. But I would like you to notice especially the 6th and 7th verses. Paul says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now, what is a picture of spiritually prospering believers? First of all, they are people who have received Christ Jesus as their Lord. This is something we know that is absolutely necessary. I just wonder this morning if every one of us here have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, I want you to notice, it does not say receive Jesus as your Savior. It does not say have come to Jesus. It does not say have believed in Jesus. These things perhaps may be all true, and I would not minimize them, but I want you to notice that when the Bible speaks of this matter of salvation, it is a matter of receiving Christ Jesus the Lord. When the Philippian jailer asked the question, sirs, what must I do to be saved? The Philippian jailer, Paul and Silas did not answer, believe on Jesus and thou shalt be saved. They did not say receive Jesus into your heart or call upon him to come into your heart. I want you to notice that the Philippian jailer was told, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Paul in Romans chapter 10 emphasizes, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. When a person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, he is a person who is coming to him, having become weary and tired of the life of sin and living for himself. It is a person who has tasted in some measure of the emptiness and vanity and nothingness of the world. He is like the prodigal son who, when he has spent all, he realizes he is perishing, and he says, I will arise and say to my father, I have sinned and am no more worthy to be called thy son. In other words, he is a person who has come being willing to give up his old ways, his own sinful ways, and he is submitting himself to Jesus Christ as Lord, or to Christ Jesus as Lord. I wonder this morning, have every one of us received Christ Jesus the Lord? Do we realize that in receiving him, we are submitting ourselves to his control and to his way from henceforth? That is what is included in the matter of salvation. Salvation is not a fire escape from hell. Salvation is a deliverance from a life of sin, that it might be a life of dedication to Christ Jesus as Lord. Received Christ Jesus as Lord. Ah, friends, I think that today, in this day of evangelism, so-called mass evangelism, when there is such a great emphasis on counting of numbers and the swiftness with which we are all together too ready to say, well, we've had so many professions or so many conversions in our campaign, I think there is need today of allowing the Holy Spirit to have his way in the hearts and consciences of souls until, brought to the end of themselves, they are ready to receive Christ Jesus as Lord. Have you received Christ Jesus as Lord? Have you received him as the one to whom you are submitting your heart and your life? And then he says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Ah, friends, what a beautiful verse. Our brother brought before us that verse, revive us that we might rejoice in thee. I would like to just impress upon our hearts this morning this verse. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How did I receive him? How did I receive him? You know, when I received him as Lord, I had come to the end of myself. I was in the place where I realized that as far as I was concerned, I was absolutely nothing and I could do nothing. Is that the way you came to him and received him as Lord? When you came to the end of yourself and you saw that in yourself there was no hope, that in yourself there was nothing that you could trust in, that in yourself there was nothing that you could boast of, nothing that you could depend upon, and when you came to that place, you received him as your Lord. My, if that spirit continue to characterize us as believers. What a transformation it would make in our lives. But you know the thing that I notice in my life? I begin to think that I'm something. I begin to think that I have certain rights, that I have certain things that I should be catered to. And you know, when that I gets into the way, why, that's where my trouble begins. Ah, friends, how did I receive Christ Jesus the Lord? I received him, friends, humbly. I received him when I came to the end of myself and I realized I was nothing. So walk ye in him. Walk in him in precisely the same way. My, what a difference that would make in the assemblies of God's people. How easy that would make reconciliation when unwittingly one has been hurt. Because, you know, we can't help offending. We can't help doing things. I remember what our brother Pat McGee said on one of the conferences. He says, you know, an assembly is really an assembly of nobodies who are trying to exalt somebody, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, the trouble is, when one person begins to think he's somebody, and if the other person isn't willing to take that place of nobody, why, there's going to be friction. There's going to be conflict. But if we remember that as I have received him, I received him when I recognized I was nothing. And you know, this is the way of real spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is not like the world. The world's way is up. Spiritual growth is down. The smaller you become, the more you're growing. We know how the Apostle Paul says, I am less than the least of all the apostles. And then he goes on until he says, I am less than the least of all saints. How lowly he became. He was growing, but you know, the more he grew, the lowlier he became. How did I receive him? I received him in lowliness of mind. How did I receive him? When I received him by faith, believing. Oh, I remember when the man quoted to me the verse, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I said, well, I believe. I've always believed, but I'm not saved. But I remember that night when Mr. Spink opened the Bible to me and he showed me Acts 16 and 31 and I read it for the first time in my life. And you know, I think this is a good thing. We've been hearing about personal soul winning and personal testimony. Might I recommend that when you do speak to souls, open the Word of God to them and show them these things from the Word of God. You may be able to quote it and quote it perfectly, but there's something about that written word that the Spirit of God uses. We've experienced it in so many different instances. I found it so in my own personal life. When I read it, when I saw it, and I saw it there, I believed. And the moment I believed, I was saved. You know, that's the way we're to walk in Him. Walk in Him believingly. Believingly, what do you mean? That is believing this Word. We've been hearing about spending time in His presence. How much time do we spend over this Word? How much time do we spend in meditating upon it? Do you and I read it consecutively straight through? Do we have a system of Bible study? I'm not against Bible courses. But there's one thing I am persuaded, and that is that we must get into the Word of God for ourselves. We must have our own faith nourished and strengthened by the Word of God for ourselves. What a wonderful experience it is when you're reading the Word of God and something comes up at you in a way that you've never seen it before, and you're conscious, the Spirit of God is teaching me. And I'll tell you this, when you get it from God like that, You're not going to give it up so easy. You know, I may get it from this brother, and it may seem to sound very good. But then another brother comes along, and he says something different, and I'm tossed about, well, what shall I believe, this or that? They're both men of reputation. They're both men of esteem. Now, I realize that there are those things in all of our Bible study where different men, able men, may differ on different things. But when you and I get things from the Word of God for ourselves, it imparts strength and power and courage to you and me to walk in that which the Lord has made known to us. You and I can never walk in Him if we are not believingly growing and being nourished by Him. We can only walk by faith. And that is the walk for the Christian. We can't walk by sight. We can't walk by the pattern of things around us or by the principles around us. The only way we can walk by faith is we've got to receive from Him constantly for our soul. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in Him. We must walk by faith. And you know, the third way that I received Him was wholehearted. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ was revealed to my soul, I saw that all was in Him. All was in Him. All for the salvation of my soul was in Him. Hangs my helpless soul on Thee. You know, you can know doctrine, and doctrine is important. Don't misunderstand me. You can know certain truths, and some have maintained certain truths to such an extent that they have gone overboard at the expense of one truth in turning away from another truth, and the result is they've caused distress to their own souls and trouble to the souls of the saints. You know, the thing is, you can never be too occupied with Him. Wholeheartedly. All in Him. Christ. Wholeheartedly. Single-heartedly for Him. Oh, we speak of those first days. Now, I don't believe that a Christian's first days have to be his best days. I haven't experienced it so. And I don't believe that it's got to be so. People always look back. You know, you can make a fetish of it. Almost like Hezekiah. You know, the serpent was lifted up on a pole. And that brazen serpent was the way of salvation. But what do you find? You find many years later that brazen serpent was an object of worship. And Hezekiah had to destroy it because it was taking the place of Him who dwelt in the center of His people in that holy place. You know, believers can be so occupied with their personal experience and hold on to that for so many years as though that was the climax and the supreme experience of all experiences that they don't go on to grow in the knowledge of Him. When we turn to the Apostle Paul, he said, that I may know Him. That I may know Him. Paul, didn't you know Him? Yes, I knew Him. Know Him. Didn't you meet Him on the Damascus Road? I certainly did. And it was a wonderful meeting. A meeting that becomes all the more wonderful as my knowledge of Him grows and increases. He was wholehearted. Oh, that's what we lose, that wholeheartedness. When other things begin to come in and draw our hearts away from Him. And as we have been hearing this morning, the index of it is we begin to neglect prayer. The index of it is we begin to find less time for the Word of God. The index of it is we find less desire for the fellowship of God's people. We find less desire for the prayer meeting. We find less desire for spiritual activities, and we may not want to say it. You know, there are two men of whom we have the expression in the Bible, they wist not. Oh, there may be more than that. But these two men are to me a tremendous contrast. One of them was Moses. Moses went into the presence of God, and the result of those 40 days in the presence of God was that his face shone with a glory. But Moses wist it not. My brother's been speaking about super spiritual believers. I want to say that if a believer is spiritual, he's like Moses. He'd be the last to say he was. Moses wist it not. But Samson was another man. Samson wist not that his strength was departed from him. Yes, he had trifled with sin. He had trifled with carelessness so often that he thought to himself, I'll go out and do it once more. But he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. And we find that Samson was taken. He was shaved. His eyes were put out. He was brought into the prison of the Philistines. He was tied there, and he began to grind. He began to go around in circles. I wonder, is that our experience? Are we going around in circles? Our eyes are gone. Our spiritual discernment is gone. Our power is gone. We're going around in a circle, all right. We're going through the routine, all right. We're going through the forms and the ceremonies, all right. But we're going around in circles. Why? Because we're not walking in. Oh, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. How did you receive? Sit down and analyze it. How did I receive it? Oh Lord, help me.